Today we're looking at Romans 8, 26 through 39. If you don't realize it, you are the richest people in the world.
Amen.
Amen. You literally are.
Yeah.
You're the richest people in the world. And we're going to talk about that today.
Amen.
So that's just a really cool truth. You know, I'll be honest with you, last week and last couple of weeks when I was teaching the first part of Romans 8, it's really draining to talk about things that are just so dramatic, you know, like crying out, Abba, Father, and thinking about Christ dying on the cross and just screaming, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's draining to teach that stuff. I mean, it's good and it's right, but it's just really draining. And this week, I open my Bible and I start looking. I had some of this prep before, but I start looking at Romans 8, 26 through 39. And honestly, it's just like, man, you look at this section and it's just like, just a peace comes over you. And I'm smiling and just thanking the Lord for what this actually details. And it's just wonderful. This section is like a victorious culmination of this whole chapter in what we have in Christ. So that's what I'm saying. You guys are the richest people in the world, whether you know it or not. And hopefully we'll see that more today. Okay. Can I get some volunteers to look these verses up? John 19, 10 through 11, 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, and John 16, 33. Go ahead and get those ready. So when I call on you, you'll be ready to read them. So let me pray and then we'll read the text and we'll get into it. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for this text. I thank you for writing this chapter. Lord, as I was just meditating on this throughout the week, it just came to my mind that this is very possibly one of, if not the most profound literary writing in all of human history, and it's staring us right in the face. We have this amazing truth that is so deep and so ripe with truth. It's just amazing. So God, I just pray that you would help us today to see in this text who you are to us, who we are in you, the amazing riches that we have in Christ. And Lord, may you just do the teaching today. May you guide and direct. May you get all the glory. May you become more and more through this text who we love. So Lord, we thank you so much. This is an amazing text. And we just pray that we would humble ourselves before it and take it all in. And thank you for it all. So we'll give you the glory and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So go ahead and turn, or you can look at your handout, one or the other. And I read the NASB, by the way. That's why the handout has the NASB on it. But I'm going to go ahead and read this. So look at your handout or an NASB version. Let me read this. So starting in verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and who intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is an amazing section. So this section really here is the culmination of a three-part outline that Paul's giving in this chapter 8. If we look at verse 1 through 11, and you have this on your handout, you can fill this in. Verse 1:11 is the status of who we are in Christ, meaning we're not condemned. Verse 12 through 25 are the next steps, okay, of who we are in Christ, which is perseverance. Verse 26 through 39, which is what we're talking about today, is our victory in Christ. And on your handout there, it says amazing, glorious, encouraging hope. Okay? In the previous sections, we talked a lot about perseverance. We talked about who we are in Christ. This is really the culmination of, it's really the, and I don't want to use the word payoff because that's a little tacky, but it's the reward that we have. For those of us who persevere in this walk with Christ, who keep on keeping on, keep going, okay? Just like Galatians 6:9 says, you will reap if you don't give up, okay? The sovereignty of God is all over this chapter. We're going to talk about that. But the other thing, too, that is active here is we have a role in all this. We are not automatons. We're not robots. We actually live the Christian life. And it is to us to persevere. It's to us to trust. It's to us to not give up. In this section is the amazing encouragement. It's the amazing reward that we have for what was before this. Okay? And your handout, point is, we can have peace in the midst of these struggles, okay, that Paul describes, knowing that our salvation is all of him, from him, to him, for him, unto him, the glory goes to him. It's all about him.
That's right.
Okay? If you look, starting in verse 29, and I intentionally left the blank part to fill out, not the operative word, but the person, okay, so that we can focus on the person. On your handout, it says, we see in this text, he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. Okay? And again, this is off the heels of the previous section, which said we are not slaves to the law. We're not slaves to the works of the law. It's all about him. He did all this. Okay? And that's a chronology, by the way, of our salvation. Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. He did it all. Okay? It's all about him. We are simply the recipients of all this grace. You are the richest people. If you are in love with Christ, if you're regenerate in your heart and you're filled with the Spirit, you are the richest people
amen.
In the world.
Yes, amen.
Okay? Really, you are. You are. We struggle with our jobs. We struggle with our money. We struggle with relationships. We struggle with our kids. You know, all that stuff. And it's all relevant. But the thing we need to focus on here today in this section is we need an eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. Because we are, you aren't going to be, you are
That's right.
the richest person in the world right. because your riches are in Christ.
Amen.
And he doesn't change. And he runs the whole show. We're going to see that here real, real strongly. Okay? So a sub point in this, we just talked about the he's, okay, there's five he's, he, and we also have four who's, okay? If you look at the text in verse 31, he says, who is against us? Then in verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, okay? Now, the question I have is, where do you see you in this text? You're in there. Where do you see it? As far as being an operative, we had, first of all, the he. This is the Lord, you know, providing our salvation and being everything we need. Then we have all the who, which is all the who people, okay? It's not Roger Daltrey and all those guys, but it's the four who's, okay? They're the ones coming against us, trying to, what the scripture lays out here is to separate us from the love of Christ, okay? What about you? You're mentioned twice in this passage.
Well, we're certainly the those and the us.
Okay.
We're being put to death.
Okay.
We overwhelmingly conquer.
We overwhelmingly conquer. Okay.
The two. God's elect.
We are what?
God's elect.
Okay. Look at verse 26.
We're the weak ones.
He helps us in our weakness. This is our contribution to this. We don't know how to pray. Mm-hmm. That's our contribution. We don't know how to pray. The other contribution is if you look in verse 28, those who love God. That's all we do. We don't know how to pray, and we love God. Okay? He did everything for us. He predestined us. He called us. He justified us. He glorified us. Everything. We have all these enemies that are trying to drag us down. Okay? And all we do is we basically passively sit here and say, okay, well, we're getting carried along in all this by God's grace. It's total sovereignty. It's total Lord choosing us, saving us, giving us his grace, and carrying us along. Okay? And in the midst, we just sort of sit here and go, I don't know how to pray, but I love God. You know? Those are the only things we can do. That's the only two things. Okay? His grace carries us along. Another thing I want to point out here is the sovereignty of God is all over this section. If you look at verse 27 and 28, okay, you'll see that he searches the hearts and he works all things together to conform us to the image of his son. Okay, that's his sovereign working through all the circumstances of life. Again, we have a lot of prayer requests here in the class. I have them, you have them, about practical things. And that's real life. But here's the thing that we need to grasp. He is sovereign over every one of those details. Okay? The health issues, the job issues, everything. He is sovereign over every one of those details. Okay? And by the way, I don't have this in the notes, but I said he's sovereign over the circumstances of life. There's really two things that affect us. There's circumstances and there's consequences. You don't want to be in the consequence category. Okay? Circumstances are what happened to us out of our control. We have a couple guys here that work for GM, and they're concerned with all the layoffs that they're going to lose their job. That's out of their control. But then you have consequences, which is really, you know what, you're smarting from decisions you made. You're smarting from, you're in pain from things you might have decided without seeking the Lord, without following Him, whatever, you sinned, you know, whatever it is. Those are the two things. But He's sovereign over that too. But what we're saying here is He's sovereign over the circumstances. If you look at verse 29 to 30, He's sovereign in that He alone provides our salvation. Again, we are the blessed recipients of nothing but this grace.
Amen.
Okay? You didn't do anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I did nothing. We all deserve hell.
That's right.
But by His choice, He saved us. He saved us. Look at verse 33 and 35 through 35. This is really cool. Okay? This is God's sovereignty, what I say, the sovereign lethal countermeasure to all of the who's that would try to condemn those of us who are regenerate and love Him, and which ends up being so lethal to the who's that Paul says, we overwhelmingly conquer. Okay? It's really easy for all of us in our humanness as we're going through paying the bills and losing a job and this and that to think, where's God at? You know, like, where's He at? Like, does He hear me? You feel like you're struggling. You feel like you're failing. You feel like you're behind the eight ball, you know? Meditate on this, okay? He is sovereign over all this. He's sovereign over everything that would try to separate us from the love of Christ, okay? There is a parallel, turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 19. There's a great parallel to this point of His overwhelming power. Chapter 19, verse 11 to 21. I'll read this in a second, but here's the thing. This is talking about Armageddon, okay? And we hear the Battle of Armageddon, we hear Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo, et cetera, et cetera. And we, in our experience in life, we think of battles. What are battles? Battles are where you basically have one side, you have another side, okay? And they go to war, they kill each other, there's blood all over the place, things are broken, people are killed, et cetera. We think of the Battle of Armageddon as the ultimate culmination of all battles, okay? And we think, wow, like, this is really going to be something, okay? There's this massive, massive battle being prepared for called Armageddon. And again, we think of blood. We think of, you know, this is the big one. This is the big kahuna. Listen to this. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. And His eyes are a flame of fire, and upon His head are many diadems. And He has a name written upon Him which no one knows except Himself. And He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called The Word of God. And the armies, which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following Him on white horses. And from His mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it He may smite the nations. And He will rule them with a rod of iron, and He treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, come, assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and those who sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against Him who sat upon the horse and against His army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Who did the killing here?
Christ.
What did his army do?
Nothing.
How fast did this happen?
We're shouting, praise God.
As soon as he spoke.
You know, I have to be honest. I was at home and I'm reading this in the morning. It was my coffee and I'm meditating on this. And I looked at verse 19, and I started laughing. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. It's laughable. Why? That is the power of Christ.
That's right.
Okay? He overwhelmingly conquers. He does. This isn't a battle where he took his lumps and we took our lumps and the angels took their lumps and, you know, we had death on both sides and, you know, because Jesus is God, he ended up winning.
This is a blowout.
This is a blowout. Okay? He overwhelmingly conquers. Okay? There's a verse. Let me see here if I can find it.
That reminds me of that one angel after dinner one night goes out and kills 185,000. And he's just an angel. He can't compare to God. You know?
Yeah.
In Isaiah, it talks about that. That's so great.
The point is this. The text we're reading in Romans says in Christ, through Christ, we overwhelmingly conquer. Right now, we're dealing with all the stuff. We're dealing with the nosebleeds, you know, from life, and we're dealing with the black eyes from life. You know, that's because we're in a fallen world. We're not glorified yet. But if you notice in the text, he says in a past tense, he glorified us. It's over.
Amen.
Okay, it's over. This is very, very temporary. Whoever has John 19, 10 through 11, go ahead and read that, please.
So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you, and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greatest sin."
This is Pilate the hotshot. Okay? I got all this power. Just like these guys in Revelation 19, 19. We're going to make war against, you know, the Lord and his armies. Are you serious?
Psalm 2.
You know, it's like, let's be real. Okay? And Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Pilate's like, "You have no authority unless I give it to you." And ever since I got saved, I've loved that verse. Jesus said, "You have no authority unless I gave it to you."
That's right.
Okay? None. So basically, Pilate, you're a pawn. You have no idea what you're even saying and what you're even doing. You are fulfilling my destiny. Okay? Gary?
You know, it's interesting. Pilate's response after basically being told off, he immediately was trying to release him.
Yeah. So, again, back to the text here. This is what I want everybody to see. The same sovereign dominance that you see in Revelation 19, that God just dominates his opponents with, is the same dominance we're talking about in Romans 8. He says he doesn't say, you know, sometimes we win. Sometimes we, you know, we take it on the chin a lot, but sometimes we have a good day. He didn't even say, you know, well, for the most part, we conquer. Sometimes we conquer, or all the time we conquer. No, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. That's the point.
And I think it's important to address the reality that sometimes we overwhelmingly conquer by being martyred. We're still overwhelmingly
For sure.
conquering.
For sure. And that's the thing. You know, there's persecution in this text. We haven't dealt with much persecution here, obviously. We do deal with hardship, and we're going to talk about that a little bit next week. Again, this is sort of a flyover, this whole section. Next 2 weeks, we're going to sort of unpack the first section, and then the next week we'll unpack the second section. But what Dave said is very true. Okay, we don't really experience persecution, but we still experience opposition and this world, flesh, and devil coming against us to not trust him. That's what we experience. Okay?
Go ahead. You know, in Joshua, remember when they were conquering the land, there was the angel. And he went out there. The angel had the sword in his hand. In Revelation, it talks about the sword coming out of the mouth.
Right.
Which is the word of God.
Right.
Sometimes it's not when we look at that, they think about the blood and the guts and all that. But the truth is, in our battles, our spiritual battles, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God that will conquer.
Right.
And see, so many times when we get in a problem, we sit there and get upset and stuff, and we don't apply the word of God to
right.
the situation.
Right.
We want to apply something fleshly or angst.
Yeah.
But if we apply the word of God,
yeah.
that's where our victory is. And even though they talk about the blood and all the stuff, but it's the word of God that's going to subdue the nations.
Yeah, what Fred is saying is spot on. We're going to talk about this next, but we also talked about it last week. If you notice the wrap up on the handout from last week of like, what do you do when you feel condemned from your sin? Every answer was the word of God, the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. That is where we get our strength, our knowledge, our hope in Christ from is the word of God, which is why we need to meditate on the word of God. Don't just do devotions. Don't just read it. Take time to meditate on the word of God. Think of this as your full armor of God that is strengthening you in your life. And I can easily draw a correlation, okay, and maybe you know what I'm saying, or maybe you can too, where those believers, it's like you could draw a simple scale, you know, like this. Okay? A graph. Those believers who are more and more and more in the Word of God are more and more and more strong.
That's right.
Those believers who never really meditate and study the Word of God are those who are constantly being browbeaten and dealing with problems in life and don't know what to do.
That's right.
You're basically a spiritual pygmy. Okay? You have to immerse yourself in the Word of God.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead, real quick. Are you done?
Yeah,
okay.
Years ago, I used to work in a prison. And one day, I had an Irish prisoner, and I thought actually he was going to kick my... because he was probably 6 foot
yeah.
and stuff like this. And he was trying to intimidate me. And what kept going through my mind, it is sin for the righteous to give way to the wicked.
Yeah.
So I stood my ground.
Right.
Even though I thought, I mean, even my partner said he was locking up because he knew it was going down.
Yeah.
But things worked out where I ended up not getting the blood kicked.
Yeah.
But I kept thinking that in my mind. He may do it, but one thing, I know, the righteous will not give way to the wicked at this point. And sometimes in life, when we run into things, we want to solve it by using worldly methods
right.
and saying, wait a second, what does God tell me to do in this situation?
Right.
And I just think in so much of life, there's so many things that are going to happen, but let's apply the word of God.
Yeah.
People use excuses. Well, I was in such a point that, I had to take that or I had to do this.
Right.
Or I had to do, wait a second. God
right.
says, thou shalt not steal, you shall not lie. You
yeah.
apply the word of God to that situation.
The thing, too, and Dave touched on this with persecution, I want to point out, okay? And you guys hear me say this a lot. I hope you don't get tired of it. Sorry if I'm beating a dead dog. But Dave talked about persecution, okay? And we talk about death. We talk about those dying for Christ. I don't know anybody here who even really has anybody in their family even who's died for Christ, let alone us, okay? But here's the thing, is when we go through life, we need to understand the biblical spiritual truth of death to self. Jesus said, if you save your life, and that's what a lot of us keep trying to do, quite frankly, we keep trying to save our life. If you save your life, you'll lose it. That can be a salvation statement, which is really what it is in Scripture, but there's an application there to everyday life too.
Yes.
If you lose your life, you'll save it. Okay? The thing you hear me say a lot, and again, I'm sorry if I beat a dead dog, but you hear me talk a lot about death to self. And there's a good reason for that, because the more you aren't dead to yourself, the more you're alive to yourself. This is you right here.
That's right.
The more you're dead to yourself, this is you right here.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Speaking of people dying, there was a really cool story that I heard one time. I don't know if it's true, but I hope it is. Idi Amin, who those who are a little bit older than like 29 here might remember,
yeah.
He was a dictator years and years ago, I think back in the 60s or 70s. He was also a cannibal, okay? So he would literally eat people. There was a guy, I heard a story, there was a guy who was a Christian missionary or pastor or something like that over where Idi Amin was. I forget the country he was in, one of the African countries.
Uganda.
And there was turmoil going on. Some guys broke into this guy's house. They worked for Idi Amin. I think there was like five of them. They had their AK-47s or whatever it was, and they broke in. They told him to renounce all of his faith and so forth, or they're just going to kill him. That's just the way these things go with ISIS and all these kinds of things. Renounce your faith or we're going to kill you. His answer was, you can't kill me. I'm already dead. And the story goes, and I don't know if it's true, but the story goes, those guys were so shocked by that statement that the leader of the band basically said, everybody put your weapons down. I want to talk to this guy. And they talked to him. And from what I understand, there were salvations that resulted from that. Okay. Where he said, you can't kill me. I'm already dead.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to have a presence of mind to say that.
Yeah. But that's the mindset we need to live in. Okay. We need to. Exactly.
Otherwise, the mindset wouldn't have been there.
Exactly.
It's your vocabulary. It's your language.
Yes.
The language of the word.
It's your identity. It's who you are, Sue.
Somebody shared the other day with me, which I thought was a good point. You know, we say, oh, we can't take time for meditation, or I can't meditate.
Yeah.
So if we just change that over to God's word,
yeah,
got it.
Exactly. So to just sort of wrap up, the question I have, I guess, for all of us here is, you know, what are we doing to better grasp this clear and present victory? And by the way, that is a play on words. I was thinking about this, and I thought clear and present danger. Well, we have clear and present victory, okay? Better grasp this clear and present victory that we have in Christ, and to apply this clear and present truth to our daily challenges and struggles, and to not be robbed, like John 10:10 says, of our joy in Christ in light of this clear and present truth. What are we doing? Okay, which is exactly what Sue was just saying, and we're sort of talking about now. What are we doing for this? The first thing I have to offer you for to better grasp the clear and present victory that we have in Christ is study the Word.
Amen.
And pray and fast. Amen. Whoever has 1 Thessalonians 2:13, go ahead and read it.
We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers.
Which is at work in you believers.
That's right.
It's not at work in you believers if this book just stays like this at home.
Amen. That's right.
Which is at work in you believers. We've all heard a billion times, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces, Okay, you and me need to be in the word. That's point number one on how to better grasp this clear and present victory that we enjoy, okay? Now, to apply this clear and present truth to our daily lives and challenges and struggles, what do we do? To apply it, we meditate on the word and we speak it back to ourselves. When we have challenges and everyday things that are going on, I guarantee you, at least half of you walked in this room today with stuff that's pretty much dominating your mind. You got stuff, you got challenges, okay? The countermeasure, the lethal countermeasure to that is to meditate on the word of God. And it takes time, like Sue said. There's no such thing as microwave fixes here. You either get in the Word of God and you start taking this and valuing it above
everything,
or you struggle.
That's right.
To not be robbed of our joy in Christ in light of this clear and present truth. And by the way, let me back up. Verse, I didn't put this on the handout, but my scripture for this meditation concept, if you look at Psalm 77, please. Psalm 77. Might want to jot this down. Is this something you can take home and meditate on? Verses 11 to 15. They say, this is, it's not David actually, but the author here says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy work and muse on thy deeds. Thy way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Thou art the God who workest wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. Thou hast by thy power redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were in anguish. The deeps trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. The arrows flashed here and there. The sound of thy thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way was in the sea, and thy paths in the mighty waters, and thy footprints may not be known. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. That's his power. That's who we have. Okay? Last one here, again, to not be robbed of our joy in Christ in this clear and present truth. Read John 16:33, whoever has that.
I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
He's talking about an eternal perspective there. Okay? Mm-hmm. If we're in the Word, we understand our vision isn't this. It isn't what's happening today at noon. That's part of it, but that's not the big picture. The big picture is eternity.
That's right.
The big picture is, like that verse just said, we have an eternal perspective on what he's done and who he is and who we are in him. If we don't take this perspective, I'm telling you, you're just robbing yourself.
Right.
God has given you the world on a silver platter. And you're basically like, you know, eating gum that was thrown in the dirt, you know? It's like, we have so much in Christ. Get into the Word, okay, and be built up in that. So, what's that?
No more gum. And
no more gum and dirt.
You know, like, remember that.
Haven't you ever been around people that are calm in this world? Haven't you ever been around somebody that has peace?
Yeah.
You know, I remember being young, and I remember being around people, and I was, you know, I'm freaking out. But there was older guys here who were like, rock steady.
Yeah.
You know? And they didn't let anything big that came up around them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that same way when you have that peace.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to be shaking or going all different directions, right?
And the way you have that peace is getting into the Word and experiencing life and realizing God is faithful and true, okay? He will not leave you or forsake you. He loves you. This verse said, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
This is your identity if you're in Christ.
He did the hardest thing by giving his son. Everything else is a piece of cake.
Exactly.
Hey, Kim. I had a former pastor who would often quote 2 Timothy 2:15, and he would put the emphasis on workman. So in the verse it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. And he would always say, a workman, meaning you got to work.
Yes.
You got to get in here and work.
Yeah.
And so I always remembered that emphasis that he put on there. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But you have to push through and find times to study. You know, I've often told you guys about, I live with my mom and she's hard of hearing, so her TV is always jacked up to about 100.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and she has the TV on from morning to night because that's her life. So I was struggling to find time to quiet.
Right.
You know, but I got some noise-canceling headphones. And I get up early in the morning when she wasn't awake. So it's like work.
Yeah, work it is. It is. I'm a firm believer that we all do exactly what we want to do.
Absolutely.
There's not a person in this room who's not doing right now what you want to do. And today you're going to do what you want to do.
I like it. The fact of the matter is you make time for what you want to make time.
Exactly. What you do is just a reflection of who you are.
That's right.
That's all. It's not like I don't have time. It's that I don't have time for that because this is more important. Okay? My point to you is this. This isn't a browbeating session. I'm trying to get under the skin to say it's an encouraging section of Scripture. You have an identity in Christ. You overwhelmingly conquer in Christ. Think about that when you're thinking about what's going on today and you're thinking about the challenges or health problems or kid problems or whatever it is. You overwhelmingly conquer in Christ. This is not a prosperity gospel which falls flat on its face every single time something doesn't go right. Christ went right, and He's all we need, and He's all we have.
Amen.
Okay? So, focus on Christ. You know, again, this section is talking about an eternal perspective. You can't grasp this unless you're thinking eternally. Okay? The little like word picture that came to my mind the other day was, does anybody hear like DVR sports games and stuff? Okay? Man, you guys are reading a lot. Okay, we got two. But I was thinking like, what's that? We have no teams. That's what we have.
Actually, it lets me wind faster because I can flick through it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is for everybody who's DVR'd something like that, or maybe even a movie, okay, what do you all say? It's like, don't tell me what happened. Don't tell me the score. Don't tell me the end of the story. You know? But here's the thing. We know the end of the story.
That's right. We've read the book.
We already know the end of the story. So, you know, it's like when you watch a sporting event. Maybe you have a favorite team. You DVR'd it. You're watching the game. And they're really struggling. They're getting their butt kicked, basically. But you're like, you know what? I know the end of the game. They actually win the game. So it takes the edge off. You're not sitting there going, man, they're going to lose. They're going to miss the playoffs. You know, blah, blah. You're like, no, no, no. I already know. They win. They win. It looks bad right now, but they win. You know? It's the same thing. We win. Okay? That's what's in this text. I just want you to be encouraged through this because that's what the text says. Next week, we'll sort of dive into verse 26 through 30, and then the following week, 31 through 39. And by the way, I lied. It's not next week because next week we're all in plenary service.